Case number 12-5020. James H. Roan et al., Jeffrey Paul, appellant, Bruce Webster et al. Versus Karen P. Tandy, administrator, Drug Enforcement Administration et al. Mr. Rosen for the appellant, Mr. Peterson for the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the court, Keith Rosen on behalf of the appellant, Jeffrey Paul. Your Honors, this case arises out of a challenge brought initially by three death row inmates to the method by which the government intends to execute them. Jeffrey Paul also sits on federal death row. The day after the Supreme Court denied certiorari on his 2255 collateral attack, he moved to intervene in the lawsuit, just like three other interveners before him. But unlike those other three interveners, the government opposed and the district court denied the application. The court denied the application under both Rule 24A and Rule 24B, primarily on the ground that Mr. Paul's application was untimely, as that term is used in the rule. This ruling was in error. The district court, although citing the applicable standard, both misconstrued the timeliness standard and misapplied it in an abuse of the court's discretion. The court viewed timeliness much more like a statute of limitations, looking at the issue solely on the ground of how much time had elapsed chronologically and deciding whether or not it was too much. But as the cases in this circuit and elsewhere established, that is not what the timeliness requirement provides. Timeliness is not a tool of retribution to punish a allegedly tardy would-be intervener, but rather a guard against prejudicing the original parties by the failure to apply sooner. And that approach applies both in the 24A and in the permissive intervention 24B context, as this court held in EEOC versus NCC. The amount of-
I'm just curious about your strategy. Why couldn't you, this has nothing to do with your argument here, but why couldn't you just file your own lawsuit? What's the problem with that?
Mr. Paul could endeavor to file his own lawsuit, although under the appropriate venue statute, the appropriate place to file would be in the District of Columbia.
Right.
And from a judicial efficiency standpoint, since Mr. Paul is raising the same claims that are already in place in the current lawsuit, it makes far more sense for Mr. Paul to join as an intervenor.
That's in terms of judicial efficiency, but he could fully protect his interest by just filing his suit, couldn't he?
He could.
Right.
And he might get on a quicker train.
He might file it as a related case and might end up before the same judge, right?
Theoretically, that could happen. Indeed, there was another potential intervener in 2008 who filed a suit, and the district court in this case.
I mean, I ask the question because I'll ask the government this. I just am curious as to why either side cares very much about the outcome here. I mean, but I'll get to the government when they stand up.
I can address to the court why Mr. Paul cares.
Yeah.
Mr. Paul moved to intervene in 2009.
Right.
After his collateral attack had been exhausted, and he was then facing
the notice of execution.
He does. Yeah. There is a stay of execution for the plaintiffs in the existing case.
What's the status of the sodium thiopental? I mean, it's not available. Do we know anything more about that? There's not much of a factual record on
that. The government has made no factual record about that, Your Honor. The only thing in the factual record is an assertion by the government starting in May of 2011 that it is, quote, currently unavailable. Whether it will be permanently unavailable, whether it will remain unavailable, there's nothing to that end in the record, which, as we have argued in our briefs, is a fatal flaw in the government's mootness argument that they raise in their briefs. But we don't know. We also don't know what the state of this revised protocol.
Does the case become, if the government, and I'll ask this to the government as well, but if the government is telling us that the protocols are going to change, that the lethal injection protocol right now is in fact going to change, it's under review, it's going to change, why doesn't that speak to the mootness issue? Why are we concerned about this case right now if we're going to have a new set of protocols down the road?
Well, there's a factual and there's a legal answer to that, Your Honor, and they dovetail. The factual answer is that we don't know what this new protocol is, will be, will contain, what it will set forth.
Don't we know that it's different from this one, though?
We don't.
We don't know that? Is that
we right? don't. We don't know. And in fact, as recently as October the 1st, when the government filed its status report in the district court the day after it filed its brief, it told the district court no final decisions have been made about the content of the protocol. And that's been the status since July of 2011.
Yeah, if that's right, that doesn't meet the high burden that's on.
Under the voluntary cessation standard, Your Honor, I would suggest that that's the case. Okay. The government cannot meet it on this record.
This is your answer to Judge Tatel, seeming obviously right, but maybe go back to your brief where you make a big thing about how the district court erred when it said that Paul would remain free to file his own challenge where he was tried. That's really a quibble with the district court's language, not with the principle. Right? The principle the district court as to that issue was relying on was perfectly correct, right? That Paul could file his own suit.
The principle that the existence of this lawsuit does not preclude Jeff Paul from filing his own lawsuit is correct. And then whether Jeff Paul could meet venue, statute of limitations, all the other issues that go with filing a lawsuit would flow from there.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with whether he has a right to intervene here. I was just asking a strategy question. That's all.
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah. That's correct.
I wasn't suggesting that because he could file his own lawsuit, he therefore couldn't intervene here. They're unrelated to each other.
And in fact, the case law establishes that point under Rule 24A.
Right.
That struck me as an odd passage in your brief. It might have been simpler just to say, yes, of course, he can bring his suit, but not in the place where he was tried. He can't bring it here, but that doesn't foreclose intervention.
I think, Your Honor, the
simpler reading.
I will endeavor to be simpler going forward, Your Honor. I appreciate the court's comment. The only point I would make in response, I might take it just above a quibble. And I take it just above a quibble because if one looks at the district court's opinions, the district court's timeliness analysis hinged so much on this notion that not only should Mr. Paul have filed his own suit and filed it some time ago, but he should have filed it in the Western District of Arkansas. The court below didn't make the point simply that, well, he's free to go bring a case elsewhere. And I think that does go to the color of the district court's opinion, at least initially. If the court has no further questions, I'm happy to address permissive intervention, but otherwise I'd stand on our briefs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I please the court, Benton Peterson for the appellee. At the core of this case, Your Honor, lie two facts that are largely undisputed. The first fact concerning Mr. Paul is that he is seeking to intervene in a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the previous lethal injection protocol.
So then why isn't that case moved?
Right. The underlying case.
Yeah. Why isn't the government moved to dismiss that case?
Yeah. Those plaintiffs are in a different position than the movement, Mr. Paul. First of all, they're plaintiffs. And in that capacity, they were advised and they were consulted with regard to the stay. And in the stay itself, that the court ultimately
adopted.
But it's
still, with respect to them also, it's an outdated protocol, correct?
As of right now, that is the case, Your Honor.
You mean it might change? They might continue the same protocol?
In terms of the exact same protocol?
Yeah.
Without the sodium thiopental,
here's what
it would not happen.
I don't understand how the mootness analysis is different with respect to the intervention issue and the underlying case.
Okay.
If the intervention is moot, then why isn't the underlying case moot? And if the underlying case isn't moot, how can the intervention be moot?
Well,
that's what I just don't understand.
Let me address that in two ways, Your Honor. First, with regard to the underlying plaintiffs themselves are a party to an agreement that was memorialized in a stay, a forward-looking stay that the court adopted, indicating that once a new protocol has been established, there will be a briefing schedule established at that point. And after that, there will, in conjunction with that, there will be a motion about discovery if necessary.
Okay.
At that point, all the parties involved will have an opportunity to make all the arguments that are necessary before the district court in the first instance, mm-hmm. to allow the district court to determine exactly what the challenges are, what their mootness may be or may not be.
Not Mr. Paul, if you prevail here.
Not Mr. Paul, because he's not. The second part of my point, Your Honor, was that Mr. Paul currently is not a plaintiff. Right. He is a movant. And in the sense that he is not a party to that stay, there is no, with regard to his ability to join the lawsuit, that has not been determined yet. The district court has determined that it was untimely. So at this point, the current plaintiffs will have an opportunity to brief this issue. And after the new protocol is established and the current challenges and claims remain largely unchanged, they will likely be subject to a similar defense from the government.
You aren't claiming that under Steel Company you were required to resolve the mootness issue for aggressive intervention.
We're not claiming that that's the order that needs to happen, Your Honor. But we put it in our briefs first because, of course, issues of justiciability, as this court has.
Well, that was my question. That was what my question was directed to. It is the sort of question that must, or it's really a matter of the relationship between mootness and intervention. Intervention is the sort of merits issue that can be reached only after justiciability problems have been taken care of, and we would have to follow the mootness and intervention sequence.
Right. Sorry if I misunderstood your question, Your Honor, but we put it in our brief first in order to, because we believe those issues are threshold issues in terms of whether the court has jurisdiction in this case. Is there a case in controversy?
But the intervention, at least, I haven't seen any cases on it, but I would suppose that the intervention is not the sort of merits issue that requires the court to make sure it has jurisdiction over the case, which actually, in a sense, there isn't a case until he joins the other suit, which is obviously a case.
Right. We understand it to both relate to cases and controversies. Is if there's no case or controversy here because the previous lethal injection protocol, which Mr. Paul seeks to intervene to challenge, is in fact previous and is no longer in existence.
Why are you saying previous? I don't understand that. Yeah. It hasn't been abolished, removed, stripped from the records, has it?
Well, in the sense
it's
that
been looked at, and lots of things are looked at.
It's we would argue, Your Honor, that it's more than being looked at in the sense that the previous
will it be replaced?
I'm sorry.
Will it be replaced?
It will
as
be
as a result of whatever's going on right now. Are you telling us that there will be a new protocol?
That is the intention. A new protocol, and the previous protocol will be.
You said that's the intention. So, is there a possibility that at the end of this process, it'll be the same protocol? Is there any possibility of that?
In the sense that,
so just yes or no, is there any possibility that it'll be the same protocol? Yes or no?
There is zero possibility that it could be the same protocol because the previous protocol included sodium thiopentol, and right now there is no.
And right now, what can you tell us more about that? Right now, will it be available at any point in time? Maybe 6 months, year, right. 2 years?
We have no idea, Your Honor. I have not been advised as to when it will or if it ever will be available again.
Just to point down, your use of the adjective previous
is
not accurate. It's the current protocol, which is, to be sure, on the chopping block, right? It's not previous in the normal sense of the word previous.
Your Honor, the only way I use the term previous in the sense that the prior iteration of the lethal injection protocol cannot exist anymore because one of the key components in it is no longer available to the government. So by necessity, it will have to change and there
it
will
may be
a new
available. You don't know. I mean, the sodium hydroponics may be available.
Right. We understand that there are all, in terms of the panoply of possibilities, there's possible iterations of the future. What we're talking about here in terms of the mootness issue and more specifically towards the voluntary cessation principle is that we're talking about a reasonable expectation of a wrong, an alleged wrong, being repeated. In this case, that there is no reasonable expectation of that alleged wrong being repeated. We've indicated on the record that sodium thiopental is no longer available. We have zero reserves of it.
You said that, but in our Cook decision, we set aside that portion of the district court decision, which issued an injunction against the state. So the stuff in the hands of the states is still available, right?
The states versus the federal lethal injection protocol, Your Honor, with regard to the federal...
I'm not talking about protocols. I'm talking about the substance.
The substance itself, does it? If the question is, does the substance itself exist in other corridors within the United States, I have no idea if that's true.
Well, the premise of our Cook decision seemed to be, and of the district court decision that it reviewed, was that there were such supplies.
Yeah, in fact, according to the newspapers for the past couple of weeks, some of these states are going to compounders to get, I don't know if they're getting this drug, but they're going to compounders to get the compounds needed for lethal injections.
That may be true with regard to the states, Your Honor. With regard to the federal lethal injection protocol, the reserves that were there and the sources that we used to appropriate those chemicals are no longer available to us.
So let me go. Your answer to Judge Griffith when he asked you three times to say yes or no and you finally said no leads me to renew my first question, which is why isn't this whole case moot?
Well,
if there's no possibility that this will ever be used again and this case is aimed at stopping the use of that drug, why isn't it moot? The whole case.
To be direct as I can with this, because I want to make sure that I'm getting to the court's concern. Without the stay, the stay that was entered into by agreement among the parties and adopted by the court, the forward-looking stay that indicated that the parties shall, after the new lethal injection protocol is established, inform the court, publish to the parties, and then shall put forth a briefing schedule. That agreement among the parties and the court creates...
To brief what?
To brief
what?
To brief whatever challenges remain to the new lethal injection protocol.
No, I'm only asking a question of consistency. Your position here with respect to this motion to intervene is that it's moved because the drug is no longer available, right? That's your position.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So why doesn't that apply to the underlying case also?
As it exists today, it technically applies.
Okay, and you haven't moved to dismiss that case for lack of mootness, so isn't that essentially a concession that this intervention motion is not moot?
If not for the language of the stay, Your Honor, and the agreement that the parties reached and the court adopted and the admonition of the court to file our briefing schedule after the new protocol has been established, the answer may be yes, that we should move for that also below. But that's not the state of the case right now. The state of this case is that there is such a stay in place and that the parties, the defendant, feels bound to honor that stay and the court's admonition to file the appropriate documents and dispositive motions included in that after the new protocol has been...
I didn't see any argument in your brief that there'd be any prejudice from intervention. Am I right about that? You don't make a prejudice argument.
Well, I think we make the prejudice argument in this sense, Your Honor, only that the district court, in contemplating all the circumstances in establishing or analyzing the timeliness factor in granting a motion of intervention, he did consider the prejudice.
No, I was asking whether the government... I didn't see the government saying in its brief that intervention by this petitioner would prejudice anything. Am I right about that?
Right. As the state of the case relates today, there's very little prejudice indeed.
Okay,
towards
so
the
why
prison.
Do you care?
Well,
if he's intervened, what's the problem?
Which gets to the previous question
why
the court asked.
Here?
Yeah. Why do we care? The principle here is that I think is being challenged, is that the district court's discretion that it used in denying the motion for intervention, that in finding that the prejudice that it listed was risky speculation and that it's possible prejudice, and in a sense leaning more towards the timeliness nature of the intervention, that that somehow was not appropriate in abuse of discretion. And that principle is one of the reasons why we pursued, or we're here today to defend the principle that the case law, as we read it, and the circuit cases in this circuit, does not make that same statement, that in the absence of prejudice to existing parties, or with very little prejudice to existing parties, the district court is therefore obligated, with no longer having discretion, to allow a movement to intervene in a underlying matter. And we read that argument coming from the plaintiff as being contrary to the existing state of the case law in the circuit. And so that principle is one of the reasons why we're here, in order to reaffirm or reestablish the principle set out in AT&T that a district court may consider all of the circumstances in determining and analyzing the principle of timeliness within the larger context of analyzing the motions for intervening. And in that vein, the district court did that. He not only talked about the issues of timeliness and the time elapsed, he also discussed the need for the intervention as opposed to other remedies that could protect the movement's interest. He also talked about the reason for the intervention, and he also discussed and weighted the prejudice to the existing parties. In weighting all of those factors and engaging in the highly discretionary enterprise of determining whether or not a movement should be allowed to intervene as a permissive matter, the district court made the correct decision and acted comfortably within its discretion. If there are no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did Mr. Rosen have any time left?
Mr. Rosen
has
7 minutes.
Oh, you got a lot of time.
Maybe you can use one of them to answer my question on the application of Steel Company.
I will, Your Honor. I think the answer to the court's question is that if mootness is properly raised by the government, that's an Article III case or controversy issue, which has to be decided by the court in order to decide the application that's put forward by Mr. Paul. Now, as Judge Tatel pointed out, the answer to that question is that the government either has a situation where the entire case is moot or none of the case is moot, and Jeff Paul should be allowed to intervene. And the mootness standard for voluntary cessation is such a heavy burden, and I point to the decision of the Supreme Court in Friends of the Earth, where it has to be absolutely clear that the challenged conduct cannot reasonably...
But isn't it now, based on the government's representations, this lethal injection protocol will not, the one that's being challenged right now, will not stand. There's going to be a new one. Why isn't that show that the burden's been met here?
Because there's two parts to Friends of the Earth, Your Honor.
Yeah.
There is the absolute clarity that the challenge conduct cannot be reasonably be expected to start up again. But if the effects or permanence of the alleged promise of cessation is in dispute, then there is no mootness. Excuse me. In Larson, this court held that not only do you need the reasonable expectation that the alleged violation will not recur or will recur, but that interim events have completely irrevocably eradicated the effects of the alleged violation. So, for example, the Supreme Court in the City of Los Angeles versus Lyons case, which dealt with the chokehold practice by the police in Los Angeles, there was a moratorium. It was actually enacted. We weren't dealing with a situation like we are here where we have representations by the government which, with due respect to my opponent, are inconsistent with what they've been saying to the district court, which is no decisions have been made about what this protocol will contain. But even if we take the representation that's been made here today, I would suggest to the court that it's just like the moratorium in City of Los Angeles versus Lyons. It exists as a representation, but there is no permanence to it. Mm-hmm. And if there is no permanence to the representation, then under Lyons, the voluntary cessation standard cannot be met. And I would suggest that this case falls under Lyons as opposed to falling under a case like Larson, where this court looked at a Navy policy where all the parties agreed the policy had ended and it was never coming back. The point at which mootness could actually be raised, and what the merits are, it's hard to know at this point. It's impossible to know at this point. But the point at which mootness could be raised is when this ostensible new protocol is actually enacted. And then the parties in the court will know what it says. And indeed, that's the procedure that the government and the existing plaintiffs and the court agreed upon in July of 2011. The stay that my opponent keeps mentioning is a procedure that the parties put in place so that when the new protocol is issued, whatever it says, the parties can take up new discovery, they can take up whatever arguments. And indeed, the parties and the court have been envisioning that the case would continue now for 2.5 years waiting for this protocol to happen.
And the plaintiffs have some other claims as well, don't they? They're not tied solely to the ingredient, right? They have some due process claims.
That's correct. Actually, the first claim is a due process claim based on the notion that they weren't given access to the protocol. Which I think could raise the question of whether that claim is actually mooted, since we still don't have what the new protocol would be if that's the alleged basis for mootness. But that was claim one. There are two Eighth Amendment claims that are based on the administration of the lethal injection process. Those claims are based on the notion of this three-drug cocktail and how sodium thiopental is used. Then there is an Administrative Procedures Act claim and a Controlled Substances Act claim, which are also based on how the protocol came into being and the use of this three-drug cocktail. So I think it's fair to say that a question could arise.
And are those claims that Mr. Paul will make as well if he's allowed?
Mr. Paul, when he moved to intervene, said he wanted to step in just like the other plaintiffs. No new claims, no fewer claims. He represented, just as the other interveners had, that he would not go back and attempt to reopen issues that had already been decided in the case. He wanted to just step into the place of the other plaintiffs.
Including the stay.
Including the stay. Certainly. Yeah, and right. And I think that is an obvious and important consideration, since, as my opponent mentioned, there's a difference between the existing plaintiffs and Jeff Paul. The difference is that Paul's the only person who could be executed right now. Yeah. These six men cannot.
Is that why the government's opposing intervention? Do you know why they're opposing it?
I have no idea, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Because as to the court's question of why are we here today,
yeah,
as much as I'm enjoying the opportunity of spending this time with the court, the government could end this today.
Right.
And the government has made it clear that there is whatever prejudice argument they could have made, and I suggest to the court there was none in 2009 or in 2010, today, there is absolutely no possibility of prejudice based on their own argument that in some way, shape, or form, the case is going to change once this ostensible protocol is issued.
Did you handle this in the district court?
I did not, Your Honor.
Oh, so you don't know for sure why the government opposed the motion to intervene?
I can only make the following representation to the court based on my conversations with counsel in the district court, that counsel was surprised when they filed their motion that the government opposed,
okay,
and were unable to get any clarity on that question.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
I thank the court.
Thank you. Case is submitted.